Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays, doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinking bros. That is Hims.com/drinking bros for personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/drinking bros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. Let me tell you about Moo.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Gonna get you 20% off your first order over there. Did you know there's an online cannabis store that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's the magic mind gummies for deep work and creativity, the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for the action at every turn, and touch into a full body experience over there. Listen, I love the night-night gummies, as I call them, the sleepy time gummies. I take, right now they're 15 milligrams. I cut it in half, and I take half a night. 15 minutes, dude, you are gone. I've never had anything like it. 15, 20 minutes tops, and I'm out. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, gas stations, whatever. Mood's functional gummies, though, combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. Plus, Texas Governor Abbott just said it was all right to get these shipped through the mail. He vetoed the bill down here. Thank God. So order from mood.com today. Use that promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off your first order. Everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the promo code Drinking Bros. So head on over to mood.com. Find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use the promo code Drinking Bros when you check out to save 20% off your first order.
Welcome to Drinking Bros. Put down the water and grab a fucking drink.
Drinking,
free Jared, free Jared,
Free Jared.
Free Jared.
Shut the fuck free, up.
What do you mean?
That's Willie just... has now replaced Jared. Yeah. It's Free Jared now.
This is stupid. You guys.
It's going to be a reboot. What we're going to do is we're going to remake the movie Free Willie with you. It's Free Jared.
Dude,
all the kids.
You've robbed me of something.
You're trapped in like a zoo where they only feed you like paleo diet. You're trying to get free to the Jimmy John's.
We've got a Free Jared.
Well, who's going to
free me?
Fuck
little,
lettuce.
Little Matt Best, who is a little bastard that's spray painting walls and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's getting juvie time.
Yeah.
And then they give him a bunch of community service.
Yeah.
And then he sees me in that cage with a sad face like, I need a sandwich.
Yeah. Listen, I'm going to break you out. And then you go eat Jimmy John's with Evan.
That's it.
And that's it.
I'm the Mexican foreman that's just watching this and like, go ahead. Let him out, bud. Let him out.
Exactly.
We will fly like never-ending story. I'm like the dog in Never-Ending Story, just flapping.
Perfect example, dude. They're remaking Never-Ending Story right now, so we can remake Free Willy.
That is awful.
We can remake Free Willy.
Why do you remake
nice.
Never-Ending Story? That's stupid.
Hello, Drinking Bros.
It is.
Hello.
It is. Hello, Drinking Bros. Welcome to another glorious, spectacular evening. Or if you're listening in the morning, well, you're probably on your way to work and you hate life.
Or
hopefully we can make it a little better.
Or you're
for
on
you.
on a car trip, Ross. If you're falling asleep, listen to Drinking Bros. Or get a beat in. I've had a lot of road beats. Keeps
don't
you awake.
Yeah,
I'll
but
keep
a lot of road beats.
Don't
to the
come.
Podcast.
The second you come, you go sleepy. So.
I will bring up topics that'll make you
I do
your
too,
mind
though.
Just fuck you up.
I do too. When I come, I fall asleep.
Yeah.
Tonight's episode is sponsored by our favorite. It's one of our favorite products of all time. It's a product called Strike Force Energy.
Oh.
We love StrikeForceEnergy.com. We love their energy drinks. And it's not in a can. It's not in a fucking can.
It's
you don't
in
have to
pouch.
Carry around a bulky can.
It's like
it's
a,
in a little pouch. You can squirt it in water. You can squirt it in any soft drinks. And they ship anywhere in the entire world. It makes you feel alive. It kills 5-hour energy. I drink this shit every goddamn day. I love it more than life itself. Mm. You can go to StrikeForceEnergy.com, type in the promo code Drinking Bros, and get 20% off.
Not drinking
I highly
bros.
Recommend getting a subscription.
Not
get a subscription
bros.
Of it.
Tasty.
Yeah. Get a subscription, have it sent to your house like we do. It is literally our favorite energy drink, and we can't say it enough. I don't know who the fucking owners are, but I wish you let me buy a piece of this company because I love it.
Shout out to Sean Matson.
Next up, is it Sean Matson? Dude, if Sean Matson is listening, I want to buy part of your company. I drink this shit all fucking
day.
I love
it. And then we'll jerk you off after we do, just as a consolation.
It's a consolation.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we won't, but we'll hire Ming Lee to.
She'll
give you a sandwich. She'll put a sandwich in your mouth and she'll jerk you off. It's the
nice.
Greatest feeling you've ever had
nice.
In your life.
It's called the ultimate
greatest,
finish. The ultimate
and
finish.
Then afterward, you can have a cup of coffee. You can have a cup of Black Rifle
Ooh.
Coffee.
Oh,
jeez.
There's so
it's,
many
it's
options.
Better it's better than any donkey could deliver you in fucking Colombia. We love Black Rifle Coffee on this show.
The problem with Colombia is essentially, you know, the whole Russian front and their communism, I would say.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've been to Colombia, though. I like it.
Yeah. You see, we're free.
Look,
that's more,
free.
Like, that's more like Cuba.
It's free coffee.
The coffee is so good at Black Rifle, you think it's fucking illegal. You'll think that it was shipped over in a mule in somebody's asshole.
Well,
that's how good that coffee
illegal.
Is.
And Black Rifle does have the Drinkin' or Drinking Bros promo, which is 20% off of your first coffee
Holy
club membership.
Shit.
Hey, which I
yes,
so
and they,
many
they
options
have a subscription. Hey, Matt, they have a subscription as well, correct?
Yes, yeah. So Evan is one of my best friends, but I still subscribe to it because I'm so fucking lazy that I don't want to go buy coffee
whoa,
that it just shows
best,
up at my door.
Best,
I am too.
Okay, it's a soft tea at the end. Your best friend.
Okay,
so I'm like a best.
Yeah, he's a soft tea. I'm a loose best.
No, you're a hard tea with me. You're hard best.
Yeah, we're hard, bro.
What?
I just want to make sure.
Oh, a nice
but
hard best.
There's so many options with this coffee. There's so many different bags
espresso,
of choice. You can
dark.
Go from. You can support so many different causes when you go into Black Rifle Coffee.
True.
It's an amazing thing. You guys check it
police,
out.
Police.
Yeah, there's
charities.
The Blue Line Coffee. There's the
Raider
Project.
Yes,
it's awesome. Those guys are doing great things.
There's all kinds of shit.
So, but so between Black Rifle Coffee to start your day, Strike Force Energy in the afternoon to keep your day going.
So you're just going hard.
You're
going
to need a little Lead Slinger's whiskey to end it.
I've never had it.
Yeah.
I never had
have
it.
A nice,
it.
Have a nice glass of Lead Slinger's right by the bed. And if, yeah, if you got a glass of Lead Slinger's by the bed, you know it's next to a nice book. A nice book you can cozy up to. And that
serious.
Book is called At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed. The first ever romance novel for dudes. The funniest book ever written. It's Airplane, Blazing Saddles, all combined into one.
That,
and it makes fun of 50 Shades of Grey. It's the funniest book ever written.
It is like the text version of General Hospital for oil workers.
Yeah, it's like Grey's Anatomy. It's like Grey's Anatomy in a book.
It is. It's like,
no, if you study soaps, like soaps are nothing but sex and drama.
So is Grey's Anatomy.
No, it's
yeah, but this is, so it's joke. A comedy. At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed. It's a comedy. It's available in bookstores everywhere, Amazon.com and Audible. Grab yourself some shit. And if Amazon ships it to you in a box, hopefully you can open up that mailbox and find another box in there. And that box should be a box of meat from Carnivore Club.
Yeah.
Carnivore Club's got.
I'm gonna call you the Segway Patterson. He's so good with segways. Amazing. You know?
Might as well have invented it. He could be the security guard at the mall.
On a Segway. Listen, you're a Segway.
When you have
the
best salami, the best jerky, the best fancy Italian meats, all shipped to your fat fucking face in a box, you get excited about it. It's an easy segue. It's called Carnivore Club. It's fucking delicious.
Dude,
unless you're vegan.
Jared eats
go,
all.
Go to carnivoreclub.co. Type in the promo code Drinking Bros. You get 10% off your first box.
Jared eats all the Carnivore Club, but I remember when we used to have it here at the podcast that we would wine and dine when we were on the podcast, and
it
was delicious.
Like
hey, Timmy,
so
Timmy,
we,
if you're
we would
listening,
wine and dine, and then. Yeah. Last but not least, and this one I don't want to say it's more important because you know we spent 2 years of our lives working on it, but a little movie called Range 15 is in theaters everywhere June 15th. Tickets are on sale at tug.com. That is
tug.com.
Yes, you can also use range15.com also.
Yes, sir.
Range15.com.
Locations.
Yes. It is in almost every single city you could dream of. So don't send us emails of hey, is it playing in my city of Palm Coast, Florida? Yes, it's in Palm Coast, Florida. Is it in Alpharetta, Georgia? You bet. Is it in Columbus, Ohio? You're goddamn right it is. Is it in Iowa, South Dakota, North Dakota? Yeah, it's in all those fucking places. Just go to TUGG.com, type in Range 15. You will see Matt Best, Jared Taylor, and Rocco's face splashed above it. Buy your fucking pre-sale tickets now.
if you guys do check out the movie and buy tickets, which we urge you to do, and your city's not there, which it probably is, you can be a promoter for it as well. And if you sell out a showing, which is 40 to 60 tickets, you get 5% of those ticket sales. So you can waste it on Lead Slingers, Carnivore Club.
You can make your own.
You can make it rain on a midget or a vertically challenged person and sensitivities and things.
Here's another great question. Hey guys, will it be on DVD? Yes, it fucking will.
September 16th. All right.
It fucking will. But buy the goddamn tickets first.
Now you gotta
see. Hey, look,
you want to see this movie
go
in theaters.
See it in theaters. You're going to want to see it in
get
theaters.
Get the full experience.
Yes. I mean, there's a reason why we went with 5.1 Dolby Digital Surround Sound.
Surround Sound, Playboy. Yeah.
So go fucking see it in a big screen. I mean, I had to redo our whole goddamn intro sequence just for theaters. So that's another like, literally 40 hours of my life was dedicated to giving.
He's not living that one down. He's adding it on
just,
it.
No.
I'm saying it was so last minute.
It was.
I love
it.
No. I love that.
I had to find a computer in Hollywood that could handle that file, and it was Eli that saved us. Eli is the MVP.
Yes,
my man.
Eli Cuevas, we appreciate you. And by the way, on a serious note, for any veterans listening right now, if you want to see more movies made by and starring veterans, please go and support this in theaters. A huge box office number will absolutely change that game, and you'll be able to see more movies like this.
And Ross,
so please go to TUGG.com and buy tickets for
Rage 15. I want a cameo in that with you is the importance of what this opening weekend does for the whole community. Is right now there is a YouTube-based group
Laser
called Rooster Teeth. Rooster Teeth, crowdfunded a movie. They raised around $2 million for it, $2.5
million. Yep, called Laser Team.
Called Laser Team. And they did the same thing we did. And they currently hold the record. And the attention that Hollywood as a town and a culture has given them is they're the big dogs now in the realm of we did what we wanted. We took no direction from anybody else, from a studio head or a money guy or anything, and then we put it to theaters. If we break this record, Ross, what does this mean? What does this really mean in the grand scheme of things nationally to the film industry?
It means Hollywood is finally going to wake up and recognize the military community, not only the importance of it, but that they should be making more films about it. And well, starring,
right?
More
they understand the power of just our demographic and inner community.
Correct.
So it's just like it brings awareness. Like, okay, you guys have thrown us to the fucking sidelines for so long, but there's a huge market out here, and a market that if you let people in that community run, can be very successful, entertainment and monetarily. So it's
I think there's more to that too. Is
correct?
What we've done in social media. There's a lot of people that have doubted it, have strayed away from it. The old school thoughts process of how to market and how to use their their money in different ways of publicizing their information. I think we've essentially have kind of changed that, and I think Hollywood's going to start looking at what we've done and say, you know what, fuck, we need to do what these guys have been doing.
I think the aftermath of this too is if we smash that record, your third, fourth, fifth, ninth military based project is going to get greenlit out the door. There could be a lot of people that see their dream project or their dream script or their something they've worked on forever.
Subsequent effects on a lot of other people.
Get greenlit and said, yes, we will pay for that because of what we just seen. And this could do a lot for a lot of vets coming behind us or coming in the wake of the whole thing.
And by the way, from a Hollywood standpoint, and this is something I'll let you guys in on, and this is totally true, by the way, they don't believe in military movies that much in Hollywood.
Of course not.
Case in point, the two biggest military movies over the last few years have been Lone Survivor and American Sniper. They put those movies out in January, both instances. January is typically a dead month. It's after Christmas. They know that, usually families have spent all of their money on, presents for their kids and things like that. So January is kind of a dead month in Hollywood, and that's kind of when they throw movies out that they don't really believe in that much.
Well, I think,
to get something in return, but wait, let me finish this real quick.
Yep.
So both of those movies, Lone Survivor crushed and just absolutely blew up, and Hollywood was totally shocked by it. They did not. They couldn't believe that this movie that they essentially dumped in January, didn't put a lot of promotion in behind, suddenly blows up and makes over $100 million. And then the same with American Sniper. Bradley Cooper himself, that project was around. Bradley Cooper finally gets famous from The Hangover, and that was the first project he wanted to make. If he didn't march into a studio with that, that project would probably still be sitting on the shelves today. And that thing made over $300 million domestic and absolutely crushed. So we need more projects like this. And if the fans can please go out there and go to tug.com and buy some tickets, it would go a long way in helping make more films like this.
Hell yeah. Fuck yeah.
I had something for that, but I won't go down that road.
Go for it.
I think it's cool. I mean, but like, you want to see success stories that are not necessarily studio heads using horrible tragic events to sell tickets, right? And those stories both need to tell because, right, it brings awareness to the families and the sacrifice that those dudes do. But ultimately, it'd be cool to see veterans just tell an entertainment story.
Last
is that
time
like
they did this was Hot Shots.
Right. You have not seen just a strictly based comedy like for the military in such a long time. It's always something like, let's tell this dead dude's story. And I know those people up in the higher up don't believe in that character of that person, but luckily our community gets around it to tell the story and remember these people. But I truly believe that like more military comedies need to get made. There's such a big
Absolutely.
Market for it and such a good space.
And they're so loyal, too. They're so loyal.
There's a lot of funny people out there, man.
Insanely funny, dude. Like, there's always the one guy in the platoon, you're like, that motherfucker's hilarious. Like you, where it's like, oh, fuck, dude.
The military and the first responder and police community is what made Broken Lizard what they are. Yeah. Like, exactly. Hands down, there is no argument to that.
Yeah. Yep.
Those guys, the fact that when I was deployed, that Super Troopers was the hands down, let's watch this 30 times while we're deployed. And that's what made that movie what it is. That's what made those guys who they are. That's why, you know, they're doing a sequel 8 years later. Like, it's because the loyalty of this tight-knit group will carry you if you give them the respect and the admiration and the
America
and the fucking
America.
And I'm proud to be an American.
Lee Greenwood. So, yeah. Lee Greenwood. Cody. Our Cody knows Lee Greenwood. Actually,
really?
Yes. Yeah, he gave him a random guitar.
What?
Yeah.
Should have got that song in the movie. Yeah. That'd been dope.
Yeah.
What are you, why are you being so quiet over there, Rossi P? Yeah, are you getting
way
like
to go.
Are you getting a Drinking Bros podcast jack in?
Are you getting a
sniper jack in, dude, or what?
No, I'm listening to you guys chat about this, and because this is a big deal for,
about Hollywood.
Yeah, well, yeah, but this is a big look. This movie is a big deal. So,
dude, right now we have some cool cities that are like San Antonio. Right now is our number one
crushing,
city,
dude. We love them.
We've sold out 64 theaters already. It's in over 400 theaters around the country. We're starting to get as big as a studio movie, and I really want to beat that record and stuff it up their ass.
Unless you want to see more movies like that fucking gay EOD movie. What is it?
Oh, you're talking about Hurt Locker?
Hurt Locker.
Oh,
who, by the way, the guy who wrote that movie
is
a female?
Yes.
Yeah, I heard that she is currently writing Bo Bergdahl's story.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But see, wouldn't you want to see, like, because EOD people are fucking some legit badasses.
My God.
Wouldn't you want to see, like, an actual movie represented from them? Like,
yes. Dude,
I would love to see that. Dude. I've never lived in that culture in the military. I would love to see a movie about
their humor is. Their humor is just
insane.
Like ours.
They're insane.
Dude,
it's awesome.
Dude, I saw the video with Joey Jones, him and his partner, right before he fucking lost his legs, are sitting there about to defuse a bomb. He's like, they're bullshitting. He's like, hey, I love you, bro. He's like, I love you too. And they're fucking laughing. And you're like, oh my God. Like, listen, I signed infantry because I'm like, oh, I'm a bad dude. Like, I didn't sign EOD because fuck you, I'm not that badass, right? Like, I'm not stupid, right? Those dudes got some fucking balls.
Yeah.
Guys like that, and Mary.
I know those chicks have bigger balls than I have.
Yeah, Mary?
To me.
Mary's got bigger balls than any of us in this goddamn fucking room.
I mean, Mary jumped on a goddamn bomb.
She hugged the fucking bomb, bro.
Yes.
That's, like,
dude,
come on.
Why? Because it was shaking around in the back of her vehicle, and she's told me the story from her mouth, saying, I thought for sure this thing was going to go off, and I wanted my people in that vehicle to be safe.
Bro.
Jumps on a bomb, loses her arms.
Dude, so she reached through a fucking back window to hold it.
To grab it.
To hold it.
And without any, like...
No reserve.
Maybe I shouldn't.
No reservations.
Maybe I should shit here and just hide.
Dude, and that's the fucking thing. Like, that... I want to hear that story from a fucking EOD tech, bro. Not fucking some fucking girl.
Yeah, someone
that
represents the story correctly.
Not a fake-ass motherfucker.
Because you know what? You know how funny that fucking thing's going to be, bro? It's going to be so dark and edgy, we're going to be like, God damn.
Ross, who's the lead? Who's the lead in Hurt Locker? Because I hate that fucker.
Jeremy Renner is his name.
Yeah.
I've heard some
shitty stories about him.
It's not his fault, though, dude.
No, it's not even that. I don't like him. Because I've heard some shit stories about him in
Hollywood. Really? Yeah.
Fuck, he's on the final sight list.
Yeah.
Or we won't say his name, just so on. But that guy tried to steal one of our close friends' girlfriends.
And he's gay.
Oh.
Yeah,
he's gay.
And he's gay, but
he
it was a power
just
move.
Just for the power.
Yeah.
Fine on sight, bro.
Yes.
He's on the list. Map it up, boys.
Yeah.
And Stitch is still.
Map it the fuck up. Hey, since tempers are flaring, Matt, I got one for you.
What's up, dude?
One that I know. Dude, so a couple hours ago, the Department of Justice just dropped a bombshell and said that fucking North Carolina bathroom law that everybody's bitching about, that HB or BH or whatever the fuck it's called.
What was that one? That was that the one where they're allowing everybody into the bathrooms?
Correct. They're allowing transgenders, everyone into bathrooms. The North Carolina governor has signed a bill saying he is banning it. The rest of the country including the Department of Justice, is saying, no, this is wrong. And today they said the law violates the Civil Rights Act, and they're going to file a lawsuit against them.
Who are they filing the lawsuit against?
Against the state of North Carolina.
Because they're saying that the bathroom should be, you know, gender specific?
Yep, they should be open to everyone. And the governor of North Carolina is saying, no, so transgenders shouldn't be able to use the same bathroom women.
You all.
We went over this. If you got a dick, you're male.
Listen,
if you got a vagina,
but Matt wasn't here that night, Rocco.
Dude, I get fucking heated about these conversations because, dude, at the end of the day, it's a sensitivity issue. And we hit this so many times in the fucking podcast. It's like people want a reason to fucking complain and get behind this fucking face value bullshit thing that they think is some empowering contemporary social issue. When at the end of the day, you're a fucking moron. Listen, I don't care if you're fucking gay, you suck 90 dicks, you fucking whatever. That's the beautiful part of America is the freedom of choice and freedom of preference, right? It's why we all fucking served in the military is so everybody can live their life however they want to fucking live it. I'm pro that. I don't give a shit what you do, you know? We were talking about coming on a male dude's intern last fucking, you know?
Yeah,
I don't care. That's cool. Yeah. Be you. Do you. That's what the fucking beauty of life is about. But the second you start... You're benefiting minorities and restricting majorities. That's all this whole fucking social movement with these fucking microaggressions and macroaggressions. All, dude, Ross.
Here's what's funny to me.
I could go insane. It's so fucking stupid.
I want to point this out to you. Here's what's funny to me, Ross, is the fact that the whole country is up in arms about this, yet no one is asking the question why power companies in certain states are able to tell people that they cannot have solar energy on their fucking properties. Like, this is how fucked up we are. This is how fucked up the fucking American public is, because it's like, oh, I'm more concerned about who could use a goddamn bathroom than I am that a private business is restricting my freedom to have my own energy if I invest in it in my house.
Yeah. Fuck it, dude. I'm going to start going with my daughter into the bathroom.
Dude,
make sure she's safe. Make sure she's safe.
No.
Yeah. Because
like, hey,
you'll have that right,
yeah,
Rocco. You'll have that right.
Stand at the door, make sure she's safe. Fuck
dude,
you.
This is what I was thinking today, because I saw that story as well. I was like, okay, well, how do you kind of appease across... how do you generalize enough where people can be okay with it? Just start putting cocks on a fucking bathroom. Do you have a dick? Yes, you go to that fucking bathroom. Do you not have a dick? Okay, you go to that bathroom. So if some chick, dude, cuts his dick off and goes that far down the road, okay, go piss in the road. Now, if you're dressing up as a chick and you can fool people, whatever, but it's people that want to throw a fucking wig on and get some fake tits and go in there. Like, you don't know what their preference is, what their sexuality is. It's like, just like you with kids, right? No matter... Going with your young boy into a fucking men's bathroom, you're still going to stand there as
fuck
a guardian.
Yeah.
So
fuck
it's like this whole idea that you called me gay. You're gay, bro. I'm white. Whatever the case is, shut the fuck up and carry on. Be yourself
and
enjoy it.
I'm going to have my sons just start shitting on the side of the road because fuck it, dude. I don't trust bathrooms anymore.
We're going in the sink.
I don't trust bathrooms anymore. Just shit anywhere, kids. Piss everywhere. I don't give a fuck.
Dude, people, and I swear, man, like we would progress so much more as a society if people just fucking stop worrying about small shit, right? I talk about it all the time with like relationships and why certain relationships are better than others, because if you just worry about the good things in life and not the bad, unless you have to,
everyone wants to talk about the fucking North Carolina bathroom situation, but
we have a fucking election going on right now.
Yeah, we're not gonna talk about we spent over $1 trillion on a fucking aircraft that can't fly. Like, we're not gonna talk about the fact that people are getting their rights removed from them when it comes to reusable energy. It's just funny. It's like they pick and choose what they want to bitch about, and it's because it's popular and because it gets them attention. And that's what's fucking annoying.
I think certain issues are easier, more like entertainable. So it's like, oh, that's funny, you want to be engaged in it, and we're all victims of that. But like, there's a lot of like this young millennial shit that they get so absorbed in this self-empowerment movement that there's no empowerment. It's
millennials, bro.
You're nobody, and you're standing for nothing. It's like, look at the Martin Luther King days. Like, they stood for something. That was that's a fucking movement.
It's a real movement.
It's not this transgendered in bathrooms movement. Well, it's just like, dude, that's cool. You're transgendered. Have fun. I don't care. Like, if you're super hot, I'd probably bang you on a drunk night. That's cool. But if you got a dick, go piss in the dude's bathroom, dude. Or go use the airport bathroom. That's multi-sex. It's not that hard to be okay with your your fucking life.
Ross, to me, honestly, anybody.
Yeah, I said that, tactical Jesus.
Anybody that complains about this, I feel, is un-American. And here's why I feel it's un-American. Because the community as North Carolina, they are the North Carolina fucking residents. They are the people that live in that state. They are the community. They are afforded the freedom to vote on issues themselves and decide what they want the rules to be.
Yeah.
They voted and the public spoke and said, here is our decision. And now everyone wants to fucking scream and cry and bitch about their decision. You're un-American at that point.
Well, that's why there's federal, state, county, municipal. That's why there's a breakdown of laws because whatever your culture, listen, everybody's different in life and everybody, like things that I believe in, an American who's equally as American as me might believe in drastically different things, but that's fine. That's why state laws and lower level laws exist, right? Is here, to benefit that resonating culture of where that is. So
but
it's like,
here's what we haven't done as a community.
Let the local people vote for it.
Here's what we haven't done as a community.
This is a political talk show today, Ross.
If you...
Yeah. Hey, and I like it because everything that's going on, it's unbelievable. Jared, I'll let you finish real quick, but because we'll jump to everything else that's happening. We might as well make this the one political show we have.
God. Oh, God. This was like me and Rocco at breakfast the other morning when I was fucking rolling
off. Oh, that
was
great. I love it.
This is the thing. As a community, and this is what I think is fucking hilarious to me, is because no one has woken up and said, hey, wait, maybe we forgot about something. As a community, we have not come together and said, you know what? Child sex crimes should be punished more fucking vigilantly. And we have some friends in the Department of Justice that work in the Child Sex Crime Division, and we are hearing these horror stories of how long they work to target and find these individuals that are buying toddlers, that are buying teenagers, that are downloading child porn, yet there is no separation in the courts and in the punishment. If you have five videos of child pornography, or if you have 2,500, you get the same sentence that maxes out at around 5 years. And that is fucking insane to me. Why have we not come together as a community and said, you know what? Here's who we're going to target, and we're going to make sure these people don't live anymore. We're going to make sure these people don't see the light of day anymore. We ignore the fucking most important things of our daily lives because we're busy fucking around with other fucking dumb shit.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of child molesters, like that, Dennis Hastert, you know, the former Republican Speaker of the House, he just got sentenced to jail for 15 months for child molesting. Anderson Cooper lost it the other night. Yeah. And it was like, dude, he only got 15 months and then 2 years of house arrest.
That's the kind of shit, bro.
Well, what the fuck are we doing?
Ross, I don't know. That's another when it comes to big political figures or people that are doing big movements and stuff like that, this is a thing that scares me because I think the child molestation and stuff like that is the easiest to frame someone in. And that's the quickest way to take someone's power away.
Here's the weirdest
away,
thing, though.
Like,
but imagine, dude, if any of our kids ever got molested, right? If we found, dude,
kill him.
Absolutely,
bro,
absolutely.
Dude, don't see a light of day,
but,
bro.
I need an alibi. Yeah.
Here's what I'm saying.
Like, hey, Matt, bro, this is what's about to happen. Don't ask questions. Let's roll.
But
you know
how
I mean?
This whole thing rolls. You got a guy that is going against the grain and is making waves, trying to change shit.
Yeah.
And you have a bunch of people that don't like that.
Yeah.
How can they remove his power?
Well,
what is the fastest?
I think, like, yeah, whatever can.
Well, this Dennis Hastert, by the way, was convicted on multiple cases.
Yeah, I'm not questioning that. I'm just saying I've always had
that's a problem, dude, across the board with the court systems and all that. You know, like, take for instance someone with their background. Like, it happens on an active basis. It's like, oh, you hit your wife in this and stuff. It's like because they know what the biggest reprimand will be for certain individuals. Politicians usually go off from that way. Guys in the military, obviously it's going to be they have PTSD and they can't hold themselves. They're abusive and aggressive. Like, and that's the problem. Like, you know, power runs everything, man. I don't fucking know. That's why you just get drunk and be a nice dude. It ain't that fucking hard. And take a piss bathroom if you have a dick. Go to the fucking male bathroom and shut the fuck up and worry about something else.
Since we're on the political charge, everyone, Ted Cruz dropped out last night. So it's Trump. Trump is the Republican nominee, and he's going to go against Hillary Clinton Who do you got, kids? Who do you got for this fall?
You don't even
listen.
I
had the burn once, and it was chlamydia, so I don't have that. And let's just say,
well, he's out. So it's we're down to Hillary and Trump.
I just wanted to say that.
Here's the thing.
I'm not voting for Hillary.
My opinion on this whole thing is, I literally think we're really fucking stupid. And I think we're fucking stupid.
I know because for
over 200 years, we haven't realized, hey, maybe this thing we invented well over 200 years ago isn't working well for us. Why don't we change it? Why don't we progress? Why don't we do something different?
You sound like an anti-gun person right now.
No, not at all. No, I'm saying, what are you saying?
Go ahead, let's hear it.
I'm saying the last
fucking 15 president or the last 10 presidents, you look at them, they barely qualify for more than a $200,000 a year job. And it's like, we let you run our fucking country? Holy fuck, that was dumb. So my whole thing is, why didn't we realize around the 1930s or maybe after World War II that the country might be better run and the decisions would be better made if we had a panel of experts in all of their fields? So we had an energy specialist, we had an agriculturist, we had an economist, we had a money guy, we had guys that knew, people that knew, not guys, but people that knew their field. And they come together and they say, here are the proper decisions that we're going to make to further progress our civilization.
Kind of exists. Like, you have like the Surgeon General and stuff like that. But the problem with that, it's not electoral. They're appointed by
the president. At the end of the day, the requirements to be the president, you don't have to be fucking smart or effective. All you have to do is have a bunch of people throwing money into your account. Like, there is nothing.
And like I said, Marcus Luttrell, Matt Best, 2020, dog.
Bro, we need a Hunger Games.
Exactly.
We need a Hunger Games.
Hey, Marcus, I'm gonna be a VP, though. I'm not a real president.
I think we go Evan 2020.
Yeah.
I think because
he would be a great president.
Because of course you do.
Well, I'm just saying, Evan as a tactician.
And you'd
the
serve
pool
underneath
boy
him.
At the White House.
Yeah, you would serve underneath him, obviously.
All the time.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Hey, Rocco. I remember a long time ago, like way, way before this primary started, all of this, you had a post on Facebook and you were like, man, I kind of like what Trump's saying, and people shit on you for that.
Yeah, dude.
And they were like, he'll never win.
I know.
What the fuck, bro? This has got to be a joke.
Funny, man.
Not only is it serious now,
I knew
because this is real, but the president of Mexico, who Trump has said a million times, I want to build the wall, and that president has told him to go fuck himself, has now today called and apologized to Donald Trump and has invited him to Mexico.
Are you serious?
Listen, dude.
I didn't know that.
This happened today, and the craziest part about it is he's calling him because now there's a chance that this could be our president.
Yeah, I know. He's like,
and he wants to make amends.
Oh, wait, I actually.
We should probably
shit.
Become friends.
Here's the reality behind it, man. Trump never said he's going to send Mexicans back. He's going to send illegals back.
Yes.
If you're fucking illegal, motherfucker,
you don't
should go.
Here.
Yeah, you broke the law, motherfucker. And that's the reality behind it, man. And I hate saying, dude, not just because I was a Border Patrol agent, it's just the fact that, like, dude, if a law is broken, bitch, you're gonna have to pay for it.
I'm not gonna.
Any
fully,
law, by the way. Any law.
I'm not gonna fully endorse Trump, but I'll say this: he built himself. He lost everything, and
he
built
lived
it back
the American
up.
Dream.
Yes, yeah, and he built it back up for the first time in I don't know how many years. We will have a guy that truly has experience with billions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of employees, and things that he is experienced in running effectively. He has been profitable for how many years?
Right.
And we are dealing with a guy that has been profitable. And that is something that we haven't had in the White House for a long time.
But you, obviously, from our backgrounds, there's a concern because of his fucking his ability to fucking pop off at the mouth.
Not think.
But yeah. he can't be bought.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that. Here's the deal.
Bush Jr.'s got a DUI, bro.
Don't think. So I like the fact that he lived the American dream, but I'm also nervous of the fact like, hey, here comes World War fucking 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Dude,
you know what I mean? I don't know.
In
all
my opinion, there's so many like social factors that break down everything. Like if you look at the legal thing, there's like 30 million jobs that are held by illegals in agriculture and a lot of fast food service. So it's like if you want to like break down if you cook the illegals out, it'd be a significant fucking hit to the American economy. So it's, you can't like just knock it out of the park saying kick them all out. Like I you know, and whether or not, yeah, everybody should be here at least on a visa or in some form of legal form, but
MasterCard
or MasterCard. Listen, or at least attempting.
Visa or I got visas well, in my name.
I have nothing against somebody because again, like my whole
America's a fucking country.
My whole thought
of
process is yes, we have done things differently than everybody, and we told the fucking guy that made the rules, go ahead and get fucked. So it's just,
yeah, but no, this understanding the system that further than probably what you guys understand is that if you're here on a visa or something like that, you're still considered legal,
right?
Even though you're not, you know, a resident, you're legal.
That's like a working
and if
visa.
You, say
or
this:
you
if you if you crossed over illegally, cool. And then you go and start getting an active job and start working towards becoming a naturalized citizen.
Yes.
Okay,
I have
cool.
No problem with that.
None at all, because dude, we all want that fucking dream, dude. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Our ancestors did the same. My fucking great grandmother, that's what she did, dude. You know what I'm saying? And so the reality behind it, man, is you're not going to send back every motherfucker. Yeah. There's got to be a plan where it's not so fucking harsh, where people have an opportunity to fucking, hey, dude, I want to be a naturalized citizen.
I think across the board, I think we should end that conversation here, but it's not.
Wow,
we're not
going good.
Not the best election. I'll put it that way, man. So
I mean, Hillary.
Not the best election.
Listen. If I could vote for one motherfucker, it'd be General Mattis. Like,
yes,
goddamn,
everyone.
Give
general
me a fucking,
Mattis.
Give me a general
everyone.
Who's like, you know, 30% a politician, 60% a fucking leader, and 10% American badass. I think that's 100%. I don't know what.
Yes, I mean,
you
know,
what if? Okay, so let me ask you this, Matt. What if Trump gets in there and wants Mattis as the Department of Defense?
That would be amazing.
If he were to win the election, then that would be a smart move.
Yes, it would.
You
can't.
Yeah,
I mean,
that, dude,
okay.
that's a top.
I think
top
Trump
tier
is
American.
That smart, though. I think he is. He is.
I think Trump, and I will say this, and you know, whatever, I'll hold my. He's similar to me, where he's not that smart of a dude. I'm not a smart dude, but I'm like, okay, I'm done in graphics. I need someone really smart in graphic design. Jared, your point is the graphic design. Boom. Well, look at all the shit you did, Matt. I didn't do any of that. That was all Jared. So I mean, hopefully, if that's the case, but. I mean, all the data shows that Hillary will get elected if it's a Trump versus Hillary, but let's hope that's not the
case.
Well,
hey, the new polls that came out today have got Trump 51-49 over Hillary.
Did they just update? Well, good. I don't
did,
want a criminal.
Did, so.
Hillary doesn't
I fucking
deserve
hate Hillary.
It. Hillary doesn't deserve
they
it at
did.
All. Oh, I mean, bro. And it's not just
deserve
from...
Deserve it. She fuck her.
Yeah. Not only is she a criminal, but she's...
A criminal.
Criminal
mind. She's a mean person to those lower below her. And we know this because we have met guys that worked for her security detail.
The fact that there's so many low-level people on her security detail within the White House that just are mutual friends of us, and it's a consistent story amongst all these people.
Hillary,
and that's
is a
not
douche.
In so in general media, it fucking blows my mind. The fact that Bill Clinton, right? We all know he fucks bitches. That's out there, like hardcore.
We got it.
She used to send Secret Service when Bill Clinton sent out to get fucking hookers for him to fuck. Some of the times Hillary would go out and get chicks to bring them back and they would fuck in separate hotel rooms because she's a hardcore lesbian, whatever, that doesn't matter, but it's like...
What about
she's like running on the
Ross,
facade, run as a lesbian
you know,
then. You're a
you
fucking
know,
lesbian, run
do you
as
know
a lesbian.
About, when Hillary, as a so lawyer, defended,
she's a hardcore lesbian?
Defended
oh, yeah.
a rapist.
Oh, that's fucking...
I had no idea.
Ross, do you know about that?
Shut up, dude.
No, I don't know about
okay,
that.
Okay, there is... So this is something you can look up, but Hillary, when she was a lawyer... I believe it was in the early 90s, she defended a rapist, and her whole defense was she accused the victim of fabricating the story, and there's even a recording of her literally saying, like admitting that, oh, this guy's guilty as fuck, but we're going to get
Is that a real source?
Yes, this is real. You can look all the, but it's crazy to
it's
me.
It's on Wikipedia.
That no one, that no one, but if you notice, Hillary supporters do not.
Oh,
they don't look at her.
But that's the problem. They don't look at facts. They go.
And
one of the funniest things I've ever seen in Hillary say was, "Don't you want to see a woman president?" I was like, "Yeah, I would love
but
to see
not you.
I would love to see a woman president if she's fucking competent
like
and not a fucking criminal liar." Yeah,
the president of eBay.
Carly's so legit.
The girl,
I like Carly.
The girl that created eBay. Like,
Carly.
Yeah, yes, she can be our president. Not you, because
I
you're.
I think
a
we need more dick jokes.
Shit.
We need more dick jokes
in
this episode.
We do. Hey, but by the way. I think because this election is so depressing this year, I'm pretty sure that somebody, the powers that be, got together to create this concert of the century that's going on this fall to cry your tears away at. Did you guys hear about this dream lineup of the greatest? It's billed as the greatest concert of all time.
No, what is
it? It's the Rolling Stones, Bob Dylan, The Who, Paul McCartney, Pink Floyd, and Neil Young are on the same lineup.
Who are they? Are you fucking kidding me?
Dead serious. That just got announced today. And
that's like every fucking 70s, 60s band that was the shit.
It's the greatest musicians of all time. Seriously. Coming together for one weekend in Indio,
like
California,
Paul McCartney
where they hold
Coachella.
It's not the Beatles,
it's Paul McCartney. I'm awesome.
It's Paul McCartney. Yeah. Ringo, they're going to put, you know, Ringo will probably show up in the back like he always does.
Yeah, let's hope.
They're putting, so each night, the first night, it's Bob Dylan is opening up for the Stones. The second night, it's Neil Young and Paul McCartney. The third night, they're
closing with
The Who.
Is this like a stagecoach where you go out there and it's like a whole week event? Oh, my God.
Correct.
That's,
it's 3 days.
There's
going
to be so many Stone, like, 65-year-old moms there. It'd be rad.
I know. Dude, you know how much tickets are going to be for that? Like, I'm a huge Rolling Stones fan. If I could get to go to this show, I would be really fucking
amped. Dude, let's go together
it.
And wear headbands, you know, and just
drop some acid.
That's once in a lifetime.
Life.
If Zeppelin was playing there, I'd pay for any fucking price.
I know. Hey, Zeppelin got together once. That was 2 years ago for the first time in a long time. And by the way, they have Paul McCartney on film pulling out a joint and lighting up as soon as they took the stage at that Zeppelin show.
Are you serious?
Dead serious. And a security guard went up to him, and this was in England at that O2 arena, and a security guard went up to him and said, "Hey, man, you can't smoke that." And the guy next to him goes, "Hey, bro, this is fucking Paul McCartney. I'm pretty sure he can smoke anywhere." And he was like, "Oh, man, I didn't know. Like, I didn't know."
He's
and
like, they, "Man, they can I take Paul a rip McCartney of that blunt, too, joint. Please?" That's great.
Listen, this is this reminds me of one of the most amazing songs I know, and it's the Decline by NoFX.
Wow, you're NoFX.
Oh God,
bro,
are you NoFX?
Serious?
Hey, so
I love
Jared,
NoFX,
by the way,
dude.
By the way, so this is billed as the dream concert of all time.
Yes,
I only have a feeling yours would be just shitty '90s bands if you were in
Hold
control
on, Ross.
Of this.
In a crazy moment in Drinking Bros history, I'm going to defend Jared and say NoFX is probably, other than Pennywise, my favorite punk rock band of all time.
You know
The
Decline.
Yes. I know everything.
A Diamond California is a $20 fine.
Yeah.
He's talking about how the guy went to prison in Michigan for a crime in California that would have been nothing.
Yep.
Boom.
That's quick.
So, Jared, if you had to put together your favorite six.
What's your lineup?
My
favorite six?
Yeah, what is your lineup?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I would say that I saw the first concert I ever went to was opened by Jimmy Eat World when they were still they had not broke yet, and then it was Blink 182 and Green Day, and that was at the Tacoma Dome.
I feel like you would be like Green Day, Blink 182, The Offspring.
No.
The story of the year.
I would go
Slightly Stupid.
No Effects.
I like Slightly Stupid.
No Effects. Blink. Story of the year, fucking Starting Line.
I knew it was coming. I knew Starting Line was coming.
And Everyone Dies in Utah.
Throwing that.
Fuck it.
Wow.
I love them.
Wow.
I like them better than a lot of the bands.
Know All the Remains. I didn't hear All the Remains in there.
I love All the Remains.
They're too hard for Jared. He likes more like, I love me in the hands.
I wish you would step out from that land.
Oh, God, that's Matchbox 20, Fox.
I love Matchbox 20.
If I only get six, I have to really think about that because I would have to chisel everything down. Definitely want to see a lot of, like, Sum 41, I think, is an amazing band. I think Sum 41.
They were fun.
I would love to see Avril Lavigne.
Who's yours, Matt?
I'd love to see Natalie Imbruglia.
Who's your dream?
Who's mine?
Yeah, who's your dream? Your dream lineup for a weekend like that.
Bro, dude, it's so hard because like my music tastes are so out there. Like I'm obsessed with 70s, 80s, not the 90s, and then like metal. I guess it would probably be to watch bands that I couldn't watch today. So it'd be probably headlining would be Steve Ray Vaughan. Oh. I'm a huge we'll put BB King, Albert King on there as well. I would do Led Zeppelin, like the original Led Zeppelin, everybody together.
Bon Jovi?
Yeah, I'm getting to Jovi, but Leonard Skinner with the original singer. That's probably one of my favorite bands of all time.
I'm in the Skinner camp as well.
And then, probably like Bon Jovi, but I would want Bon Jovi, not the band. I would want Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora, who is the lead guitar player and backup singer for Bon Jovi, an acoustic version. If you guys ever, if you play guitar or love music, check out Bon Jovi 1988 Live MTV Music Awards, and you'll see that Richie Sambora is the coolest motherfucker you've ever seen.
Wanted, Dead or Alive by those
two. I nerded.
It's a good one.
Dead or Alive.
That would be my lamp, dude.
I walk these streets, a loaded six string on my back.
This is the political and then
Taylor,
drunk
ladies,
answer.
Yeah.
What about you, Ross?
What about Rocco?
Let's go Rocco.
Dude, so something I grew up with and I love that's probably a little out of what most people would understand is Jack Johnson, dude.
Like Jack Johnson.
I would have Jack Johnson be the main fucking huge.
Yeah,
so Jack Johnson would be probably the main show, and I would love OAR Dispatch.
OAR.
Crazy Game of Poker.
Game of Poker.
They used to play at my fraternity house in college in my basement.
Bro, I had a party in college, and that's the only song.
You forgot Yellow Card, by the way.
Dispatch. So that's four of them. You said Lynyrd Skynyrd, but I'd go with Simple Man by Shinedown.
Shinedown, I
love their acoustic version of that. And I don't know what the fifth one, another one that would fit in that realm.
Your brother rapping West Coast
Tonic,
rap.
Dude. Tonic.
No. Who is Sublime now?
Sublime with Rome.
Sublime with Rome. Yeah. So if I could have Sublime, the original Sublime with Brad, that's what I'd go with. But it would be Sublime Rome. So
We can go back. That's what we're saying.
You can go back to.
Baby, come back. But yeah, so that's what I would
I got to hang out with him the other night.
That's a fun. What?
What?
Yeah, you got to sent you the picture.
Yeah, he did. He got a picture of him.
Baby, come back.
Sings that song.
Oh, Baby, come back. Yeah.
Dude, you fucked me up right now.
I
thought
it was Sublime.
With Rome?
You with Rome? What about you, Ross?
Fun show.
Ross, what about you, dude?
Man, I love that Skynyrd call, by the way. Big fan of that.
Dude, I can probably name the most obscure song of Skynyrd, because when I grew up playing guitar, that's all I listened to was Skynyrd and Zeppelin to learn. That's how I taught myself guitar.
Yeah, so that by the way, that's my first three. The Stones. Stones is my favorite. Rolling Stones is my favorite band of all time. There's no contest to me. I would go Zeppelin, just because I'd love to see Zeppelin
Robert
live.
Plant, Jimmy Page, dude, nail it.
Man, I'd love to see them live. Never got a chance. Skynyrd, definitely three. If I could bring someone back to life, it would be Hendrix. Love to see a Hendrix show live. Yeah. If I could bring somebody back to life.
Okay, fair enough.
And then, like, just because of the spectacle of it, watching those old Michael Jackson concerts on TV, I'd like to see just that motherfucker play one time.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Yeah,
like a Prince style concert.
And then, hey, so you knew exactly where I was going with that. And then I would close.
Too soon? Was it too soon? It was too soon.
I would close it out with Prince.
It was too soon. Yeah. Jared said like
too soon on Prince Rogers Nelson.
No, he said a Prince concert. I said you're dying to see it.
I said the Prince style where you're only in a restaurant with 100 people and you get to see Michael Jackson just go full fucking bore.
Full bore. And by the way, so when Prince died, they had somebody put a video up of the only time him and Prince were on stage together was at a show for James Brown. If you haven't seen that video that's circulating online, holy fuck, is that crazy.
I bet that's
it's
dope.
From 1982. Michael Jackson gets on stage with James Brown and so does Prince. And they each like danced and sung for like 2 minutes of their best shit.
Holy
it was almost
shit.
Like a battle rap dance off type of thing, and it was fucking incredible.
You know, one of my favorite things, I've seen some background of Elvis Presley dancing in a hotel room with a young kid that had metal leggings. Or is that Forrest Gump? Am I wrong? God, that's so much.
Oh my God! I thought you were being serious for a second. I was like, "Are you drunk? You're not. You're drinking water. You're supposed to get me right home."
Yeah.
Hey, Ron. That was really funny, dude. That was you got me on that.
Well, part. I got one of my big concerts out of the way, and that was the Scorpions. We were right in front. Like, that was amazing.
Did they rock you like a hurricane?
Oh my God, dude! And I'll tell all these other motherfuckers out there doing music, the Scorpions are almost 70 years old and they'll fucking rock your fucking ass off because they did 2 hours
that's badass.
Full bore. Like, I have not seen that at a show yet.
They're one of my
the oldest
their guitarist rips
in
dude.
The business They did an hour. They did five songs acoustic where they all came up to the front of the stage. And they went back and did another fucking hour.
Like, fuck yeah.
They're badass.
Yeah. Ross, what would be, if you could name your favorite guitar player of all time? It'd be interesting because you don't play guitar. Like, who is your favorite guitar player of all time?
I don't, but I will say this. I did a, you know, I did a movie, Darnell Dawkins, Mouth Guitar Legend.
Fuck
and
it.
I really
fucking knew it.
No. Here's the thing. I studied all the great guitarists for that film, and I tried to listen to everybody I possibly could. And it's tough because as people get older, they get lazier. But the three that I found that I didn't know a lot about at the time were I didn't know Clapton from the Cream days.
Yep.
Like, Clapton was sick. I didn't know Santana.
It's weird that people don't know that Clapton was the head of Cream.
I know.
Bizarre.
I also found, because I went back into the archives to study for that movie, I also found some old Santana that I was like, oh, fuck. Yeah.
Carlos Santana.
That
was
way better than, because I didn't like that shitty album he did with
the Matchbox 20.
I'm not a fan of that shit. But like, I watched some of Santana's.
It's good. It's
Santana's old shit, and then but I would probably say Stevie Ray Vaughan is probably the best of all time.
We just became best friends.
Or Hendrix.
You know,
see my favorite guitarist is Antoine Dufour.
I don't know who that is.
You don't?
No.
Candy Rat guitarist.
Andy
McKee, Antoine Dufour, the Capture Scratch.
Yeah. No, I know exactly. Yeah. Dude, that's I'm happy you said that, because like the hardest thing with guitar players, it's like, how do you define the best guitar player? Because there's dudes that are insanely talented, but they're not well known. And like Hendrix, like paved the way for like contemporary rock music because he didn't play like theory music. He played it very like whatever the fuck I want to do. And then like someone like Steve Ray Vaughan took that and like interpreted it in like a very like theory way, which is dope as shit.
Very blues way.
A little blues way. If anybody's like a huge guitar fan, I would look up Tommy Emmanuel. He is probably the most insane guitar player, like classical gas. He'll play. He's, you know, like the guys that will play like three different melodies at the same time on one guitar. My brain doesn't think that way. Fuck, it will explode your
brain.
In
this group of four, I'm probably the least musically inclined dude. And I would say this, I had a guitar class once in college, and we watched Crossroads, and it blew me away. And they talked about one of the first big electric guitar players, and it was Robert Johnson. Am I correct? And
yeah.
And that was amazing for me to know, like, wow, this dude was like one of the originators of kind of the epic shit that you hear today from, I guess, just going way outside of the norm.
Right.
And so, dude, I don't know what you guys think about that guy or the history behind that.
Remember, we were hanging out with that young kid, remember, the other day in the studio. Yeah. So Rocco and I were recording a new song we're doing, Take Your Pants Off.
Take them off.
But there's this young kid that could play guitar fairly well, but he's mastered scales. But the thing with like music, it's like a guy like Steve Ray Vaughan, I don't know if anybody listening is even interested in this, but there's feeling behind every single note.
There's technicality, and I'm on your page right now.
If you're doing digga-digga-digga-digga-digga, you're like, oh, dude, you know the scale. But when some dude hits it, and it's almost their emotion, what they're dealing with in life is in that note, you can feel the difference. There's someone like Steve Ray Vaughan, when he was on drugs, his fucked up sounds, like he was in a zone that like, when he got sober, you're like, all right. I mean, it's still really good,
There's technicality in skill in music, and then there's feeling the music.
Exactly.
Dude, feeling the music, and I've seen that in piano players. I've seen guys that were just, my parents made me read music as a kid, and I just have to do this. But it's like, I could see that there's no creativity in their head on how to interpret
that. Yeah, they're pushing buttons.
Let me hit you with something weird.
Yeah.
So the guy that played violin for us the other day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you feel emotion, or do you feel just skill?
That's weird. I felt a lot of skill. I think that he was in a zone where he didn't open up, so I couldn't judge him too much.
Dude, I would love to hear that guy go raw.
Yeah,
I think if he
went raw, it'd be dope.
He is naturally creative. Like, because he was interpreting, if you noticed, he was not copying everything that those songs had. He was writing his own to it. And he was writing his own on his own deal. So that guy, I think,
he was raw dogging it.
it sounded really gay.
There's so many influences.
He pulled his dick out and played that violin.
He was raw dogging it.
This kid was talented.
We got to show you guys the video.
What was his name?
The video is actually on the Drinking Bros.
It's on Instagram right now.
podcast.
Dude, you have
it's
a
on
microphone.
Instagram, and it's on our Facebook page.
Yes,
with
you
Matt
have a
Best.
Microphone, Tech B Jesus.
Tech B Jesus is over there rebuttaling because everything I
it
say
is Josh
sounds,
Vetti.
Sounds gay.
Josh Vetti.
He was so wrong.
Yes.
Dude, this has been an insane roller coaster of a ride of a podcast. We went political.
We've missed each other. We've missed each other.
It has, yeah.
Hope you guys don't mind.
It's nice to have the band back together.
This is what we do when we just hang out, guys.
We're drinking, we're talking about music, we're fucking.
And on that note, guys, let's get to the drinking bro of the week.
Let's do it.
Drinking
bro at this week too.
Another drinking bro at.
We're throwing it. I'm pulling it back down.
Go ahead.
Miss
Jamie Megan.
I've grown up with her since 1996. She lived right up the street from me. Rode the same bus. Hung out at school. She was one of my sister's best friends.
She was sitting down in math class one time and crossed her legs and saw her panties. God, you're very in depth. She was a cheerleader.
She was a cheerleader too. So she's all wearing that cheerleading outfit. It was like, God damn it.
God.
But anyway, good friend of my sister. She drove down a few months ago in San Antonio when we all went to visit the hospital and we held a party that night for Drinking Bros. Her and her husband came down to visit us. It was great. At the time, she was battling cancer, and she lost that battle about 4 days ago. So,
damn it, you just fucked me, dude.
No, dude, I will say
she drove us home.
I know,
dude,
I know. God damn.
Hey, I gotta say, man, and like, Jared brought this up to me today because we usually talk about who we want the Drinking Bro the week to be because it means a lot to us and. I didn't know that it was her, but when you told me you're talking about like the story of her and the funeral and stuff, I was like, it's that fucking, she was so fucking cool, man.
So funny.
Dude, this chick picked us up from the bar and like, no, we'll get a taxi, we'll get an Uber home. She's like, I can't drink, I have cancer, so it's cool. And I was like, oh my God, what? Like, where she just owned it, dude. She was so fucking rad.
So we went
to the drive-thru.
We went to McDonald's, Ross. We order and then we get to the window. And when we get to the window, meanwhile, we're all in a four-door car and there's like, fucking what, five of us in there? Because two of us were sharing the front seat.
Yeah, it's two in the front seat and three in the back.
And Jamie had pulled her wig off, so she's completely bald. And we were talking to the McDonald's attendant. We're explaining to them that between the box and the window, she's lost all her hair.
Yep.
And that they need to go find it.
She was so...
And she's going with it. Like... Full bore going with it. Like,
I think people like that in this world are a testament of what mortality is, right? Like, we're only here on this planet for so long, and you literally have to laugh at yourself and laugh at life because it's so short, so might as well enjoy it. And that's what the Drinking Bros community is about, man. Like,
you know what's
crazy? You have
too
to enjoy it. It's so fucking short, man.
I talked to her last week and I just said, hey, are you out of the woods? Because I knew she was doing a new treatment. I said, are you out of the woods yet or what? She goes, yeah, I'm doing this new thing. And I think it's good. But then I talked to her mom 2 days ago and she's like, no, she knew.
Dude, that's a powerful person because she doesn't want to put the stress on you. She's like, I got this. I'm gonna go out as a boss, and that's fucking legit.
Yes.
So cheers to Jamie Megan.
Jamie,
fucking A.
God dang.
Cheers. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening tonight. We also have one special announcement. Spotify, music site, who is typically reserved for music, is switching to video, and they've invited a handful of podcasts to join them. Drinking Bros is one of them. So you can catch all of our episodes.
We thank all of you for that.
Right now, live on Spotify, if that is easier for you. And thank you, Spotify, for having us. The show's become pretty big, and we're grateful to everybody who listens.
Out of everything we do, this is the best thing I think we do.
This is our favorite thing to do, guys. We thank you for supporting us.
Let's get one word from Tech B Jesus real quick. Come on. Pull the mic up.
Say hi and goodbye.
Close it off. You guys didn't hear it, but he said it, and you're all blessed.
He said it. He just said it to us in our minds.
Yeah. Blessed.
That's why he's Tech B Jesus.
Hey, you were all asleep good tonight because of him.
Well, we love you, Drinking Bros.
Yeah, we love you, Drinking Bros. For Matt Best, Jared Taylor, Rocco, Ross Patterson, and we're live from Huify. Thank you, Josh Harkis, for editing the show and having us. We love you, and good night.